Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Do the Broncos have a tank inside their organization that they're about to unleash this year? We're going to talk about it on the DNVR Broncos podcast, where we are live from the Toyota Lounge inside the DNVR bar, driven by your Front Range Toyota stores. Toyota, the official vehicle of DNVR. I confused you, Hank. Did I confuse you, Todd?
Yeah, I have no clue what
you're talking about.
A tank?
Let me know in the Toyota chat if you know what I'm talking about. But before we get into any tank talk, and I'm not talking about, like, tanking for two. I'm talking about this year. Someone that I think can
suck
help
for Shadour.
The Broncos. Yeah, suck for Shadour. No, Todd put a kibosh on suck for Shadour.
Todd hated that one.
Yeah, tank for two is what it would be. But before we get into that talk, got some news and notes that we want to hit on. We want to pass on our condolences, our thoughts to the Collier family with Joe Collier passing away on Monday night. The Broncos announced yesterday. Just an absolute legend with the Broncos organization. I think he was with the team for 20 years. Of course, a legendary defensive coordinator and really the architect of not only the Orange Crush defense, but Henry, also the 3-4 defense.
Like, he made a bunch of changes. It started in like the 40s, but he did like, I can't get into the details off the top of my head, but a lot of what happened now, I can't remember if it was like the one gapping 2-4, the two gapping, like all of that was kind of what he designed. And that was like back in the day when they're moving like Mecklenburg all around and Gradishar is doing, I guess he was mostly inside, but they, after his second year, like they moved, there was a whole bunch of pretty crazy stuff that nobody else in the league was doing. And within 10 years, like 80% of the league was just copying the Broncos defense because obviously it worked really well. It's a super talented defense with those guys in the, you know, Orange Crush era, of course. But yeah, Joe Collier did just as much as anybody else to kind of innovate defensive football in that era.
And we were talking just before the show how Bill Belichick actually spent a year in Denver, I believe it was 1978, and Bill talked about a couple of years ago just how much he learned from Joe Collier. And obviously, Bill, the greatest head coach, or at least the most prized head coach of all time, but also a defensive mastermind. And he said he learned so much from Joe. So Joe was 91 years old and just an absolute Broncos legend. So our thoughts go to his family and all that he did for the Broncos. But it... one of the biggest shames and confusions is that he's not in the Ring of Fame.
Yeah.
I mean, he helped innovate the entire NFL.
Yep.
He helped build the most prominent nickname in Broncos football. Like, you got Orange Crush, you got No Fly Zone. Maybe just because it's been around for longer, the Orange Crush defense feels like it's bigger than the No Fly Zone in terms of name. But, like, those are the two most prominent, like, units that have been built on this Broncos team. And Joe Collier's not in the Ring of Fame. That feels like a massive shame. He didn't win a Super Bowl, but he did help take the team to three Super Bowls. That just feels wrong.
Yeah. I think when you talk about his accolades and his accomplishments, he definitely deserves to be in the Ring of Fame. So hopefully they make that change pretty soon and he's able to be placed there. His family's able to, like, you know, have a ceremony, and they can really, you know, remember all the good he's done for the team and the city of Denver. So, yeah, that would be great.
There's five non-players that are in the Ring of Fame, the Broncos Ring of Fame. Can you guess?
Don't even ask. I couldn't have known.
Well, Mike Shanahan.
Okay, there's
Shanahan's got to be there.
Yep.
Does Pat Bowlen count?
What do you mean, does he count?
Yeah, well, because he was like an owner. Like, he puts people in the Ring of Fame, you know? Like.
But he's not a player.
He's not a player. But I mean, so like, could he be in, since it's his job to put people in? Like, he's almost above the Ring of Fame, you know?
You know, I don't. He went in 2015. So he did not put himself in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess somebody put him in after. That makes sense. After that,
so that's two.
I guess Elway obviously played.
Yeah, that's not, that doesn't count.
Who else would it be? Oh, like,
you guys honestly might not even know one of their names.
I'm trying to remember. Red Miller.
Okay. Yep.
Yep. There we go.
That's not one that I didn't think you would know the name of.
It's not one you didn't think I would know. Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Sort of.
So you're right, Red Miller.
Let's see. Who else would it be? They didn't, like, put the barrel man in there.
No, they did not. These are all football people. Like, I'm not. Yeah. They didn't put, like, an accountant in there.
I don't think they've had, like, a GM that you'd put in there that I can think of.
You're correct.
Punters counts football, of course.
Wow. Yeah.
Just making sure. Just making sure.
But I don't.
And so, I mean, all
any, I don't think there's any punters in there.
Huh. It doesn't. Like, I guess it must just be assistant coaches at this point.
Nope.
Really?
A head coach?
Is Dan Reeves?
Dan Reeves is in there.
I guess. Yep. They won a bunch of games.
I think he went in a couple years ago. And then the one that you haven't got is the one that I don't even know if you'd know the name of.
Oh, wow. Who is it? I'll give up.
Owner.
Oh, boy. I can't remember his name. I should, but I can't.
It's one of Todd's favorite people, Gerald H. Phipps.
Mr. Phipps.
So,
no clue who that is.
I mean, I guess they haven't put any assistant coaches in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to me, and Gary Kubiak kind of bridges the gap. Gary Kubiak has to be in the Ring of Fame. Now, he was a head coach for Super Bowl 50. Sure. But he was only one of two football people that was associated with all three Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Him and John. Mm-hmm. Because John was obviously the GM. And now you have, like, the trainer, Greek, and some other people who are kind of football related, but like Gary Kubiak has to be in. He should be going in this year. And then I think Gary kind of bridges the gap between head coaches and assistant coaches. You can make a case for Wade Phillips to be in as well. Maybe it's because he's still coaching, even though not in the NFL. And then I think you put the other assistant that you look at is absolutely Joe Collier. So I just think it's a shame that he's not in. I think we need to open the door, not, you know, blast it open and just be letting every assistant coach in. Pat Shurmur doesn't need to be in. Like, we don't need just any assistant in, but I think the legendary ones can be in there.
For sure. 20-year stint with a team, that's rare, very, very rare to do. And have that kind of impact. Definitely much more than most assistant coaches have on any team. So for sure.
Yeah. No, I'm certainly not against it.
Like, I don't think Ben DiNucci needs to be in, but we do have.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Jabs early.
We have some. Yeah. We do. Well,
shots,
you know,
early.
You know, we heard from Ben after the Broncos released him this morning, and his spirits seem high.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like he's in a good spot. The Broncos released Ben DiNucci this morning, no shock at all. And he tweeted, "I've been released by the Broncos. All part of the journey. Excited for what's to come. I wish Ben all the best."
Mm-hmm.
But Sean put this one out there last year. Do you remember what Sean said about Ben DiNucci?
Well, he didn't get his name right or something, right?
No, that was Jaleel McLaughlin. They got the name wrong on the back of the jersey.
No, I thought they were calling him like a form of DiNucci, but it wasn't.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. It was a year ago-ish that. Do you remember what Sean said, Henry?
Oh, yeah. If it doesn't work out with us, I'm sure they'll get you a job as a greeter at Walmart. But see,
that's what's to come.
I took that as, well, they must like him because you're not going to say that shit to somebody you're going to cut. So good on Ben for getting a full year on the team.
Yeah.
On top of that, like, they activate him for games, which helps for like the pension? Is it the pension? I can never remember because there's the pension and then there's like the insurance and like
all of that.
Yeah, but definitely
not just
out.
Pension, it's pay too, like during the season.
Yeah, that's the other one.
Yeah, you get a game check versus
three game checks.
Well, that too, but then it's also like the accrued seasons for like minimum salary changes with there's a bunch of those like calculations.
And so
but they really helped Ben out with all those, which
did.
Is awesome.
They did. And no surprise, right? I mean, are either of you guys surprised by this move?
No, no. There's too many guys that was piling up in the quarterback room. So
yep.
There was one guy who was an odd man out.
And now you have three guys for camp. That's probably enough. And the Broncos are bringing in like a couple of different quarterbacks for rookie tryouts this coming week. So if they need a camp arm, they'll probably just go to one of those guys. And maybe this has given Ben an opportunity to land somewhere before quarterback rooms get too crowded in like the middle of training camp.
Yep.
But what this really means and what a lot of people are interested in is numbers, specifically the number for Bo Nix. We're going to find out rookie numbers in the next day or two, might even be as soon as today. But now the numbers between 0 and 20, there's two that are available for Bo. 16, and now Ben DiNucci's former number, 11.
11's cool. 11's cool.
Yeah.
You said that with like zero conviction.
11, I think 11 is better as a wide receiver than as a quarterback.
Mm. Like maybe for Troy Franklin?
Yeah.
Who wore number 11.
Oh.
And he needs number 10. I think DiNucci needs 10. I mean DiNucci. I think Bo Nix needs 10.
So let me try to connect some dots. Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. Was number 2 with the Jets, I think.
Yeah.
He was number 1 at BYU. But before he changed to number 1, he wore number 11 his like freshman year at BYU. Maybe he takes number 11, then Zach Wilson takes number 10.
I think that could work.
But then what about Troy Franklin?
Just
kick Zach Wilson to number 16?
Go make the team first, you know? Like...
He'll
make the team. But I mean, for
Ooh,
Troy
Zach
Franklin.
Wilson or Troy? Okay.
But I mean, it's just what I was saying. You got like 4 or 5 receivers. Like, you got to.
He's a 4th-round draft pick?
Yeah.
He'll make the team.
He'll make the team. He'll make the team.
He'll make the team, without a doubt.
But like, Lil Jordan's getting cut. He'll make the team. But he's a lot closer to like make the team player than he is to like, yeah, just take whatever number you want. Like, screw the quarterbacks. He's not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really interested where this inside scoop that you're going to have for us, Hank, about Troy Franklin's going to go later in the show. Because if you're saying, like, he needs to make the team first,
I mean,
you got me a
message.
Little. Yeah.
He can't be selective about his number. He's
Don't
a fourth round draft pick.
Before they hatch. Is that the same?
What? When did Riley Moss get drafted last year? 3rd round, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
You put him at number 37.
Yeah.
He's not getting 11.
So
I wish him the best, but he's not getting 11.
Bill Belichick used to do this to rookies. He would like make them earn their number. Mm-hmm. I think Matt Jones wore number 50 his first offseason with the team, then got number 10 as like training camp started.
Mm-hmm.
Based off last year, it kind of seemed like Sean does that too to rookies. I don't know if it's him. I imagine it's like his guidance of like, yeah, you're going to start off with a shitty number until you earn it. Like you said, number 37 for Riley Moss. Rookies, J.L. Skinner was like dying to be number 0 because he wore that. At Boise State, they did not give that to him. Instead, it went to Jonathan Cooper, which is fair. Jonathan Cooper, more of a veteran. But just a lot of jersey numbers that were gross. Is that something that you remember with the Saints?
No. With the Saints, they just gave you what was left in that position.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's true.
Because you know, it's position-specific number.
Yeah.
You know? So they weren't trying to make it like an ugly number, but like if you're a linebacker and all the 50s were gone, you could only wear like 90s.
Exactly.
That was the guess. So I had a 90 number throughout camp. But then everybody else like was in their position slots, like wide receivers were maybe like an 89, which, you know, some people don't like. And then depending on how training camp goes and if you make the team and they cut some guys, you could – change your number right before the season.
Yeah.
But I don't think they personally put people in ugly numbers. Like, that, even Rodney Moss was probably like 37 was probably like the last number that a DB could wear or that they wanted a DB to wear. So,
exactly. And the big part is that people get cut and then the numbers open up. So, like, for Mac Jones, sure, just put him in 50 and then let him take whatever's there at the end. And so, because, like, if you put Bo in number 16, it's going to feel weird if he changes from number 16 right before the season. You put him in like 73, everybody's on the same page. Like, yeah, this is going to look silly in training camp. We'll see what the numbers look like at the end of camp, and you can just switch then.
Just give him what he wants. What's the game?
Like, I have no issue telling Zach Wilson you don't get number 10.
Yeah. You can, I mean, he's our first round quarterback. You come in, you get what you want, you're the face of the franchise. Like, I'm not trying to make you look silly for training camp for a number. It doesn't matter. Like,
just give him 10.
You've earned your number. That's why we picked you at 12. So give him his number.
Yeah.
And then just go from there. That way we can start selling jerseys. We can start wrapping things up. We can get things going. He doesn't need to feel like that coming in. You know what I'm saying? He already has enough pressure on him.
Yeah.
Just give the guy his number.
Didn't work for Mac. Maybe if they just would have given him 10 right away.
He was a Pro Bowler his rookie year. I don't know what you're talking about.
But big picture, it didn't work for Mac.
I think that's the only place they do that or did that.
Oh, probably
did,
not.
Yeah. Because they're done.
And even then, it was just with him because for 15 years, 16 years before that, was all Tom Brady.
True.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about it, you know?
It's true. And it just reminds me of a Mike Tomlin quote. What is it? I'm not going to treat you equal, but I'll
treat everybody fair, but not equal.
Yeah. Exactly. And if you're a first-round quarterback that was picked by this team, then you're going to be treated different than a third-round cornerback or than a former first-round quarterback that the Broncos traded less than a seventh-round pick for.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can have different rules. And you can put Troy Franklin in a gross number to start off and make him, quote-unquote, earn it if they want. But I agree. Give Bo Nix that number 10, especially because people are going to want to buy Bo Nix's jersey.
Exactly.
We've talked about this. The Broncos don't have stars on their team, especially after letting Justin Simmons go. You have Pat Surtain, and then there's a massive gap between the stars. So fans want jerseys to buy. What you don't want to do, you don't want to put him in a jersey that people aren't going to buy right away. Like, from a business standpoint, it also makes sense
exactly
to put him in that 10. And speaking of that number 11 and Troy Franklin, we've got a film room to dive into and really talk about what can we expect from Troy Franklin this year. But I got to tell you about our friends over at Shady Rays first. If you watch Oregon football, you probably need some sunglasses because of those jerseys they wear. They are bright. They are fun. And if you're going to be outside at any point, you're going to need Shady Rays in order to help you with the sun. Shady Rays has world-class products. In fact, over 300,000 people have given them 5 stars. Their shades are durable frames with crystal clear optics, making them the perfect choice for all outdoor adventures. And they have hundreds of options to choose from, so you are bound to find something that you absolutely love. They're affordable too. Like, some sunglasses can be hundreds of dollars, not over at Shady Rays. Shady Rays, they're affordable, and they're going to give you 35% off if you use the code DNVR. So that's an exclusive code for our listeners. Shady Rays is giving the best deals. Head over to ShadyRays.com and use the code DNVR for 35% off polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself. The shades are rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people.
Also, shout out to Bet365. I took the Avs, got some 9-1 odds when they were down 3-0 last night. That was a...
Was that your line, or if they would have gone down 4-0, would you hit them again?
So, no, I don't think I would have done it again. So, I made my bet when they were down 2-0. So, I didn't have any bets, but then they were down 2-0, and then they gave up that power play.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so that got up to like 4-1. And then when they gave up the goal, I was like, okay, I'm just going to put a third of what I just bet again, just to like basically double the payout.
Yeah.
And it obviously worked. So, that's pretty cool. Now I'm going to flip those over and get the Nuggets to win the West, because that's like plus 750 right now because they're down 0-2.
I do like that, because if they come back
exactly
and beat the Warriors, then, or not the Warriors, the Wolves, then they will win the next series.
They might as well just double the odds.
Yeah, I like that.
We are doing a cool giveaway where if you sign up, you join the Bet365 community, use that promo code DNVR365, then you just have to send us a screenshot of your active account with your minimum $10 deposit. You send it to promo at thednvr.com. And you get in on a whole bunch of different things we're giving away each week for the next couple of months. The prizes get bigger and bigger. The earlier you get in, the more prizes you're eligible to win. So make sure that you sign up. Use code DNVR365. If you deposit $10, there's a bet and get offer where you can place a $5 bet and you get $150 in bonus bets, or first bet safety net offer where you can place a bet up to $2,000. If that bet loses, you get a matched refund in bonus bets. You must be 21 or older, physically located in Colorado. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Toyota chat is popping off. And if you're in the Toyota chat, hit us with a thumbs up. We really appreciate it. Wait, you're here. I need you really quick. Can you scroll up to a comment? Because I want to know if someone's trolling us in Toyota chat right now.
The answer is yes.
We have, keep scrolling. There we go. TB007 says, no, I just bought a Zach Wilson jersey. You think that's real?
No.
They bought a number 10 Zach Wilson jersey?
No.
No.
They could have made it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And having read, so like when the Jets traded him, there was like,
whose head is that?
A third of like the people on Jets Reddit were saying like, this was the worst thing we've ever done. Like a third of them were saying like, oh, thank God it's over. And then a third of them were saying, I'm so happy the BYU fans are going to be gone now, because apparently the BYU fans are just everywhere. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's like, you know, some like college Zach Wilson fans who's like, you know what? I'm getting that number 10 Zach Wilson jersey.
At what point do the college fans drop off?
Well,
like, do they carry with that person throughout their entire career, or like once they're a bust, they kind of move on?
What would happen if there was like a number 2 overall pick from Sacramento State?
Will we follow him? He'd probably follow him forever.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, true. It's a little bit different when it's like Texas or something.
Right.
But like BYU, you can't say I have like a bad quarterback history because of Steve Young.
Yeah.
That's an insane thing to say. But like, it makes sense.
I think no matter what, even because of number 2 overall pick, like, it's pretty high up there.
Yeah.
Do they ever come like become an embarrassment to the schools and the fans, though?
I mean,
Zach did.
Yeah, if you take the OJ route, I think so. But.
Yeah. Oh, there's an example. There's an example, though. Yes, you know, it is
so
possible.
You gotta be more than just worse on the field.
Yeah, like I think gotta be worse. You gotta be other stuff too.
Well, let's hope Troy Franklin isn't gonna do that to our Oregon football fans that are now rolling with the Broncos. I mean, Oregon football fans gotta be Broncos fans now with Bo Nix and Troy Franklin. We also had TJ Ward from Oregon. Any other guys from Oregon that are on the team now? Because the Broncos right now have. I said Troy.
Alex, yeah, Forsyth.
Oh, thank you, Alex Forsyth.
We used to have Justin Hollins.
Yep. Exactly. That was a. I think he was a 5th-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
But you wore your Oregon green today, Todd.
I just knew it was time.
Wow. I love it. So, Henry, why don't you take us into the film to tell us what we're getting with Troy Franklin?
Yeah. We'll start here with, there it is, the a big play. This is the first quarter of the USC game. USC's defense, not great. The safety over the top, though, actually, 3rd-round pick, Kalen Bullock. I think 3rd-round pick.
Somehow they had like a couple of draft picks on defense for even being awful.
There's just like holes though. And so Oregon, you can see they have this touchdown. That was another big play. Here they go again. This is just Troy down here. It's a very shallow post is what I'm going to call it. It's almost like a deep slant. There's the throw. And there he is. He creates that separation on a slant. Safety's way back here. But I think what's interesting is this angle. Like, you would think this guy over here is going to be able to tackle this guy at some point, like, get over here and cut him off. But instead, even from here, like, you're on top of him. You just can't let him get all the way to the sideline. He turns him around, and he's off, and he's running, and it's a big touchdown. And that's just kind of what Troy Franklin did is, I mean, the numbers are really, really awesome. 14 touchdowns last year, 8 touchdowns the year before. Marvin Harrison Jr. is the only player with more touchdowns in college football over the past 2 years. The 1,300 receiving yards, I think, was top 5 in the country. Back-to-back, especially as, like, a younger guy. I think this entire receiver draft class is, what, like 30 of them who get chosen? Only 3 are younger than Troy. And back-to-back years leading Oregon in receiving yards. So there's a lot of production to, like, you really like the speed. Like, it's obvious why people were super, super excited about him.
Without a doubt. And I think to go on to those numbers, I think he has the most 100-yard receiving games in Oregon football history. I think he has the most touchdowns in Oregon football history.
Receptions?
Receptions. I think he had 8 100-yard receiving games, which is tied maybe for the most in the entire country
I believe
this year as well. So I mean, you just want to talk about production. He's the ultimate producer.
Definitely. All right, next one. We're just going to hit a bunch of like these good plays first. We actually talked about this one a couple days ago, but this is just that little hitch or just that off coverage on the RPO, catches it, and then like two tacklers right here. He shouldn't be able to do much, but he's able to get this first guy to the ground, gets a one-on-one with the second guy, gets around him, and goes and gets a first down. So like this run after catch offense, they throw a bunch of screens, they throw a bunch of short passes, a bunch of drags and slants so that Troy and the other receivers had a chance to make plays after the catch, which he is really good at. And you see some of those movement skills on this play, which is a bit of a broken play, I believe. Yeah, that's him all the way down on the outside. He's just got this deep crosser. And you see the rush is a little bit, it's sort of coming. Yeah, you can't step up. So Bo rolls out. Franklin's going to go all the way around here. Oh, I hit the wrong way. Oh. There we go. It's all good. Yeah, so Bo rolls out. He throws it. Just launches it up into all this space. It almost looks like when Tyreek Hill was playing with Mahomes, where he's have this big crosser and it's just there's nobody over here. You just need to put the ball like anywhere in here, and he's going to come back and go get it. That's exactly what happens. Then he makes the guy miss, and it's a touchdown. So that's just like the speed and spacing and Bo's ability to just find him all the way across the field. Yeah, hit another one here. They had this weird little fall leaves graphic. But yeah, so there he is at the bottom. There's these little leaves here that I hate. He's just going up the sideline.
What leaves are you talking about?
There's like these right here. See them?
That orange thing?
Yeah. They
I thought you drew that.
No, these leaves just kind of like came off of the scoreboard during the play, which is awful for my clip. But this is the comeback because, again, with all that speed, if these guys are going to come up and play you at the line of scrimmage like this, you just scare them deep, force them to start running, turn back. You have the comeback. And so you see a bunch of those too. And that's, you know, Bo's numbers downfield on the sidelines, really good. It's for that reason, for the most part. We mentioned this before. It's a lot of receivers kind of coming back toward the ball. And it's good they didn't know how to do that. Where is he? Oh, here's the slot. This one's a little bit more interesting. Just shows a little bit. Or no. Yeah, this is he's going to make this little move against zone coverage and just bait this linebacker outside and get inside of him. So you are right here. And just bang, just jumps right inside. He's open for the catch. It's a first down. Just like nice, smooth little route there.
Yep.
Man, and that just right there, what you showed, Henry, is chemistry between a receiver and a quarterback. That's why I'm like, Sean, why are you saying that it was just pure coincidence that you drafted Troy Franklin? You can like the player and also like that he played with the quarterback and already has that chemistry there, because I think that's something that can help both of these guys out right away, is they have that chemistry. So they know on those short routes, especially Broncos are going to throw a lot of short routes. And I'm sure that's when chemistry comes in even more, especially for reading defenses and knowing, okay, he's faking outside. But as a quarterback, since I've worked with him for so many years and have thrown the ball so many times, I know that when he does that, he's going to break inside on option routes or something like that. So I don't buy that there was no correlation there, or it was a total coincidence. And there's nothing wrong with that. Get the quarterback, the receiver he likes, especially when it's a productive, really good receiver, as you're showing us, Henry.
Yeah. And this is the last of like the positive clips, but just a little bit different one. What?
You're about to go dark.
I was about to get dark.
Yeah.
It's not going to get super dark, but like, again, when you go through Troy Franklin the first time, you're like, oh, look at the production, and he's so young, and like, there's so many things. You're like, of course he's going to be like a borderline first round pick.
Yep.
But then when he falls, you can kind of piece together why he fell, and it does make a lot of sense. But that's ominous. Let's look at one more happy play. This is just against zone coverage. He's up here in the slot. Well, number two. So he's just going to break in right behind this guy. Again, one of my complaints with Troy Franklin, a lot of the time he'll round the route instead of make the break. Against zone coverage, not that big of a deal. But, yep, you see him just coming through right there. And Bo puts it in this little gap. And there you go. That's a nice gain. So there is a whole bunch of – there's more versatility than maybe he gets credit for.
Well, I got to say, like, watching this, listening to Oregon fans – Looking at some film myself, mm-hmm. reading everything about him. I do wonder, how did this guy fall?
Yeah.
Not out of the first round, but how did he fall out of the second round? And especially, how did he fall out of day two? I mean, we were talking about it during the draft when I called into the show with you guys. And it's like, okay, pick number 76. That's got to be Troy Franklin, right? Yeah. And then the mm-hmm. Broncos pass on him. But then every team passed on him until the second pick of the fourth round. So I am curious just why that happened.
Yeah. I believe this is where we start getting into that. This is him down here at the bottom. Again, I don't know why, if you're broadcasting a TV football game, that you would put a player under the scoreboard, but it is what it is. Here they are down here. He's just going, this is the little in right here. Third and 10, but instead of just breaking off square inside, he fades upfield. Here he is on the break. And remember, he was breaking right here, but instead of just going straight across and trying to catch the ball, he kind of curls, and that gives the corner a chance to get underneath it, get an angle, break it up, and it's incomplete. So that's just, again, like, it's just not polished football. And for a super young receiver, it's not a huge surprise that he's not polished, but there is some Marvin Mims there where you're like, there might just be some things that need to be sharpened up for a 21-year-old receiver.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, here he is at the bottom. One of the things that we've kind of ignored recently is that he's 176 pounds, which is really, really small for a football player.
I didn't say really big.
Yep. Wow. Of course. Yes, of course. He was the 17th receiver drafted. Only Xavier Worthy of all the guys drafted in front of him is lighter. And you see that show up occasionally with like the contested catches and stuff, but especially when you're asking him to block. So this is the Pac-12 championship game. Here he is. Bo's coming out here. He's going to try to run. Troy Franklin didn't even try to get him. Now you got this guy. Oh, just straight whiff there. Now you've got two guys coming to hit your quarterback on a run, and you just don't love that. Like, if you could just take out one of those guys, then maybe Bo makes a move and beats the other one. Or, you know, like, he just doesn't get hit by two guys at the same time at the goal line. You just don't love that. But that's not really his game, and it never will be because he's not a big guy.
I don't know if I'm even expecting that of him.
Yeah.
Like you say, he's 177. He's probably running a deep route.
Yeah.
And the way he blocks guys is just pretending he's running a deep route and making them follow him more so than trying to get hands on. So I'm not mad at that. I just hope they're not putting him in there position to do that.
Yeah.
Portland is the blocker.
And Tim Patrick.
Tim Patrick.
He'll kill somebody
out
there.
Run route.
The only thing, Jordan also.
The only thing he wants to not do in the NFL is he needs to show effort. If he's going against a 205-pound, 7-year vet corner that's much stronger than him, he's going to get beat. And if you're a coach and you're putting him in a position where he's the key blocker, it's probably on you, Sean. Yeah. If you do that, but he's got to show the effort, because I think that's when a coach will say, you're off the field and I'm going to bench you for a little bit if you're not even showing effort.
Well, and especially because, they just have so many packages too. Like, little Jordan Humphrey might make the team, might not, but there were a lot of times he got on the field because he could block and the other guys couldn't block. And so it's just one of those things that maybe you do lose a couple snaps a game because of it.
How much would you love being lined up against Troy Franklin and it's a run?
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet. If I could have got that my whole career, I think I'd still be playing.
This is Troy right here underneath the scoreboard again. This is just a deep route. Here they are down there. This is the post. Never mind. I was thinking of a different play. So it breaks inside. Not much separation. Again, it's just like you can't really see it here, but it's one of those just like rounded routes where he's able to make the catch, which is a good play. You would love to see somebody, like an athlete like that, be able to create separation on that post rather than just have the guy draped on his back. And it's great that he made the catch, but he made things just a little bit tougher there. He's not a perfect route runner. There he is, catching the ball. This one is... I kind of like this because... Here he is down at the bottom. It's just kind of fun to see. Like, he gets off the line so fast. He's right here. Everybody else is back there. Like, it just shows the extra two-step burst. Gets open over the top. Wide open over the top. Perfect ball right in his hands. and he dropped it, which is kind of a trend. He dropped 10% of his targets last year, which was it was the most, I believe, of any receiver who's drafted in front of him. Yeah.
How's that going to bode with Broncos fans? Especially
not well.
With Jerry, like, just have left.
Yeah, yeah. Broncos fans do not like when you drop the ball. Nobody does.
No.
It's not fun being in a locker room after you dropped a touchdown or a big play. So,
yeah.
Hopefully he gets that figured out. Because that was my thing. Like, the route running could be cleaned up. He's explosive. He's quick. They have chemistry. You know, my thing is just, can you catch the football when we need you to catch it?
Yep.
I guess 90% of the time you can.
90%.
That's just one of those things where, like, you can't be a 90% guy at the wide receiver. You know what I'm saying? Other positions.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But not as a wide receiver.
I mean, that's one of the things that the Broncos missed the most with Tim Patrick over these past 2 years is on a third and six, you need a catch, you go to Tim Patrick. He's always going to come up with that.
Yeah. It's funny because every position is so different. Because if you, like, catch 90% of your passes, like, people are on you for the balls you didn't catch.
Yeah, yeah.
If you complete 90% of your throws, you're the best quarterback of all time. But it just changes.
And just flip it for offensive linemen. Or the guys in the trenches, if you get a sack in a game, probably a successful game. Or two sacks, it doesn't really matter what else you do. That's
balling.
A success.
Yeah.
If you give up two sacks as an offensive lineman.
Get him out of here, coach.
Exactly.
Yeah, so on top of that, he has very small hands. So when you have a drop problem and you have small hands, it's like, this might actually, like, it might not be a fluke. The year before, he had 3% drops, which is a much better number. And that's about average for this receiver class. So maybe it's a bit fluky, but that number isn't great. But then the other thing is, like, with him, it's all going to come down to the speed. Like, does that actually just win for you? And going back through, 4.41 is really fast. And he ran a 4.41 40. That's, like, I'm not going to say that slow. But when you look at the 16 receivers drafted in front of him, 4.41 is only faster than 8 of those guys. So, like, with the way the game is getting faster, 4.41 isn't just, like, burn everybody down the field every time necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And just for, like, you know, Demaryius Thomas, Marvin Mims, both 4.38 guys. Just so that, like, you can put perspective in your mind what exactly 4.41 is. Damari Mathis, a 4.39, which means in football terms, like, you're not necessarily just going to be able to put Troy Franklin one-on-one with Damari and expect Troy just to burn him down the field. Damari was a step faster. Riley Moss, a 4.45. Pat, a 4.42. So you watch him. He has great play speed and there's great burst. But you just factor in the drops with, like, the 40 time, only 176 pounds. You know, he's tall. He's 6'1 and 7/8. Like, there's only a few of those guys drafted before him are taller than him. But there are just a few of those things that you line up and say, like, oh, that would, I see how you could slip now. Even if you don't expect him to, like, drop to the fourth round, drop problem, 176 pounds, the speed maybe isn't crazy speed. Like, there are some
fast.
Things there.
That's
it's
fast. It's fast.
I'm not
because, like,
it's
a 4.38 and a 4.41 is, like,
it is.
It's like literally, like,
definitely.
It's nothing.
Riley Moss with a 4.45. Like,
it's
right
like
there.
Nothing.
Luke McCaffrey, a 4.46.
Yeah.
It's also not, like, that huge amount of time. So there's just some of those things. And you also have to factor in, like I said, he's the only two or three receivers drafted in front of him drafted overall were younger than him. He didn't play his senior year of high school football because of COVID. So, like, some of, like, the polishing up the route running, there could still be more in the tank. Like, you get to decide you want to try to put more weight on him or not. But there's just a couple of those things that you're curious about. The small
I do
hands,
feel like he's a slot.
Love.
Every time you say small hands, I think a scary movie. Have you guys seen?
I haven't seen that.
You guys haven't seen that?
No. Well, it came out when I was, like, 6.
You got to pull it up.
Of course I haven't seen it.
Or, like, just like the picture of the guy. We're about to watch the movie. You know what I'm saying? So you guys can see what, like, I'm envisioning.
Are they tiny hands?
Yeah.
They've got to be so small.
Henry, you talk about horsepower, and when I think of horsepower, I think that I need to get my car filled up with gas over at our friends over at Circle K, and If I'm going to do that, I might as well have the Inner Circle app because I'm going to get 25 cents off a gallon on my first five fill-ups. My first five Polar Pops are going to be free. Same with you. And every sixth item on so many items such as pizza, roller grills, dispense beverages, donuts, and more. I mean, we got the Circle K basket over here where they've got all the goodies from sweet to savory. They've got them all. And if you want your sixth item free on all of those, get the Inner Circle app. Sign up with the QR code on our screen right now or visit CircleK.com/inner-circle for more information on how to become an Inner Circle member. You're going to fill up your car. You're going to go get snacks anyways. Might as well get it for a discount and even get some things for free.
And shout out to our friends over at Breckenridge Brewery, the official craft beer of the DMVR. You guys know we always keep the Broncos Country Pale Ale on set. We also love the Avalanche Amber Ale, the Mile High City. You can't go wrong with their craft beers, but they also have a new one they want you to check out. It's the West Coast Style IPA. It's called the Ridge Runner. This double dry hopped brew is inspired by the untamed beauty of the Colorado's trails, which I know Zach loves. And if you want to get your hands on some, check out the beer locator at breckbrew.com to find a brew near you.
All right, so have you guys found out the Tank reference yet? Connected the dots, figured it out.
No.
Someone said estimate.
Maybe. Yeah, I could see that.
What
Todd's
talking about.
Oh, my God. That is very uncomfortable.
Hand. Yes, and they're staying at this house, and he's like the butler. But he's like has to cut the food, and he's like grabbing the chicken with his hand, trying to get. It. Yeah, it's a good scene.
They have a food fight, and he's like, "My turn!" Like, I'm not like, touching that no more.
We're done.
That is horrifying. Well, speaking of small hands, think of that with Tank.
Small hands in the Tank.
Yeah,
Estime has huge hands.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's not Estime. I'm not talking about Estime. Show's not about Estime.
No way.
We'll get to him soon. We'll
Who
get
does
to the,
have
the Tank
small
on the
hands?
Field soon.
I don't think so.
That you guys weren't able to get this. It's in the headline of this show. So many people have dropped it in the comment section. The Toyota chat has been about this. Can Troy Franklin be the next Tank Dell?
That's what you hear we're saying.
And the more Henry talked about Troy Franklin, the more I was like, damn, he could be Tank Dell. And then we look at the size coming out because Tank Dell was a rookie last year, so he came out in last year's draft. They are like the exact same human outside of Troy Franklin being almost 4 inches taller than Tank Dell. Tank Dell, we said how 175 is so small, which it is. Tank Dell's 165. Now, maybe a little thicker because he's 5'8", 165. Troy Franklin's 175, almost 6'2". But you mentioned the small hands, not being able to catch the ball as well. Troy Franklin's hand size is 8 inches, 8 3/4 of an inch. Tank Dell, 8 5/8 of an inch. So Troy Franklin actually has bigger hands than Tank Dell. Yep. We talk about that 40 time and how a 4.41 is really fast, but maybe not as fast as that used to be 15 years ago. Tank Dell ran a 4.49. So Troy Franklin has even better speed than Tank Dell, and Tank Dell was just like an absolute burner. Tank Dell had a ton of production coming out of Houston, and that's exactly the production that Troy Franklin had, too. So I just look at these guys, and holy cow, like, you don't just want to look at the physical measures, but then I give the benefit of Troy playing with his old college quarterback. And then I also see this wide receiver room, which is, you know, Cortland's going to be a starter. The rest is wide open. You know, two other spots are wide open. Plus, Sean's going to rotate a lot of guys in and out. If anyone is going to be the next Tank Dell, I just see Troy Franklin written all over it, unless, you know, the route running becomes too much of an issue. But I think Sean's smart enough to put him in positions where when he's working on his route running, he doesn't have to run perfect routes for the routes he's called upon. Unless, I guess, the biggest thing would be the drops. If he comes out in the first 3 weeks, he drops four passes. Okay, you probably do have to take him off the field and put Tim Patrick in more, Marvin Mims in more, or some other guys in more. But for me, if anyone is going to be the next Tank Dell, and Tank Dell drafted in the third round, Troy Franklin in the fourth round, so it's not like Tank Dell was like an automatic surefire first-round pick, top-10 pick, where you knew he was going to be a star. No, I see so many similarities, but I don't necessarily want to put those expectations on him because Tank Dell, he got hurt in that Broncos game, was out the rest of the season.
Yeah.
He was on pace before getting hurt for over 1,200 receiving yards last year. He finished the season with 700 yards, but if he didn't get hurt, 1,200 yards. That's impossible. I mean, that would be even tough expectation to put on Marvin Harrison Jr. Mm-hmm. this year. So I don't want to put those expectations on, but man, I wouldn't be shocked if he like kind of comes close to Tank Dell this year.
Yeah, I think he has the physical traits to be able to have a really good season this year. Tank Dell's, you know, season that he did play was phenomenal. And the thing about Tank Dell that makes him so good is he's able to cut at full speed, kind of like Tyreek Hill is able to do.
Yep.
You know, when you can cut running 4.9, even if you are running a 4.49, you're cutting at 4.49, where most guys have to get down to, like, let's just say a 4.61 to be able to make this cut. It makes you that much faster than guys getting out of, you know, getting out of break. So if he can start to build his speed to do that as far as Troy Franklin, then, yeah, he can have a phenomenal season. I mean, everything else is there. The continuity with the quarterback, the physical ability. I think he can.
So how tough do you think that one part is to be able to do?
Maybe that's the toughest part. Mm-hmm. I think that's harder than just catching the ball.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a trait that not a lot of guys have. Like, even really good receivers, like Davante Adams, I wouldn't say he cuts at full speed, you know? So it's rare, but I think can be developed.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the comparison's Marvin Mims. Like, because they're just so similar coming out in terms of their strengths and weaknesses. Like, you basically just want to give them the ball behind the line of scrimmage, or you want to give them the ball deep. And that's the case now because they're young. Marvin Mims was also crazy young coming out. Like, there just isn't – you just got to round the game out, which makes sense for a young player. It's not a huge problem. But I think that you're going to see about the same thing, that there's going to be a couple of things that Troy can do really well. And there will be – eventually defense probably catch on. They leave somebody over the top. Like, you're really going to have to beat them on those comeback routes. I think that – Marvin is probably more likely to take that Tank Dell jump. Just have, after being in the NFL for a year and be having a real offseason to work on things, run a real route tree, work with an NFL receivers coach, and just get better at football. Like, I think that you look at this and say you want Marvin Mims to be your Jerry Jeudy and you want Troy Franklin to be your Marvin Mims. Like, you just kind of bump both those guys up in role and hope that they're ready to fulfill those roles.
And what's so fascinating is when you point to Marvin last year, if you just look at the total production at the end of the season from a receiver, 22 catches for 377 yards, one receiving touchdown. I mean, you're certainly not saying he's a bust by any means, but like, that doesn't inspire anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But you just look at the first four games that he had when he was actually used on offense. He was on pace. If he would have done the first four games for the last 12 games too, he was on pace for over 1,000 receiving yards. Not only 38 catches, but four touchdowns and 1,000 yards from a rookie. That's like, oh my gosh, I would sign up for that. I'm sure you guys would sign up for that in a heartbeat too, from Marvin last year or from Troy Franklin this year or for any rookie. But Sean just took him off the field. And Sean kept admitting throughout the season, like, yeah, I need to do a better job of getting Marvin Mims on the field. And he just never did. But that's the anomaly with Sean. Marvin Mims being a rookie, not playing much, is an anomaly with Sean. When you look at Sean's career with the Saints, he's had multiple different rookie receivers either lead the team in receiving or have 1,000 yards as a rookie.
Yep.
Marquise Colston did it at Sean's very first year in 2006. Yep. He was a 1,000-yard receiver, 70 catches, 1,038 yards, 8 touchdowns. He was a seventh-round pick. Seventh-round pick rookie came in and did that. That gives hope for Marvin Mims taking a big jump. That also gives hope for a fourth-round pick in Troy Franklin, who also has chemistry with the quarterback to have a big role this year. Michael Thomas. He wasn't the Michael Thomas that we think of now. He was a second-round pick. Now, still a second-round pick, but again, he wasn't a Marvin Harrison Jr. coming out like he's viewed now. His rookie season, over 1,100 receiving yards, 9 touchdowns, 92 catches. And then just a couple of years ago, Marquez Callaway also led the team his rookie season. So we've seen multiple examples. So I'm going to give Sean Payton the benefit of the doubt and say that last year was more of a fluke of not letting a rookie on the field than it was of how I think he's going to handle Troy Franklin. I think if Troy Franklin's ready to go, he's going to let him play, even though he's a rookie.
Yeah, I think it was a unique situation last year for Sean with his quarterback specifically, because I think he was trying to get him to see the starters on the field that were open. Like, I can't even get you to see these starters open. I can't even think about, you know, bringing in this young guy and putting together a package for him. I got to get you to see what I'm, you know, putting on your plate now. So I think that's what kind of limited Marvin Mims is, like, special plays or special packages to get him the ball. It was just too much going on to try and think of doing, like, extra. You know, you got to get good at the little stuff before we can put extra on. Right. You know? Yeah.
And I think I go the other way, because I think, like, defense has just figured it out. You just don't let him behind you, and he didn't have a counter for that. Like, his role in terms of just total routes run expanded through the season. Those first 6 weeks, he never ran 15 routes in a game. From week 7 on, he ran at least 15 routes in every single game. He was getting up like 31, 26, 25, 22. So, like, he was on the field more and more throughout the year. He just couldn't counter to what – when defenses realized this is a speed guy who isn't going to beat us another way – which, again, isn't a huge deal. Like, it'll even come. On it'll him, come. Though.
That's not on him, I feel like.
You don't think so?
That's on Sean, right? If the defense is playing one guy one way, it's on me to counter it. Because if I keep going out there and having him run the same route,
right,
and then he's not open every time because he's running the same route, I don't think that's on him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's true. But, again, like, the complaint coming out was that he just is, like, he never ran a real route tree at Oklahoma. And so just beating one-on-one coverage underneath wasn't really his game. And that's why, like, having a year to kind of go through and grow inside the system, you hope that he can come back and win more one-on-one matchups without pure speed. Because as soon as you start sucking the defense up again, because they're worried about this, they're worried about the slant, they're worried about the out, they're worried about the whatever it may be, that's when you can start running those deep routes again, and they're going to come open.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Right?
I know it's right.
I see what you're saying. So I'm curious where we're going to go with this. Let's set our goals for what we want Troy Franklin to hit or to be this season. I think we might be all over the place. So, Todd, I'll let you go first.
Because it is a loaded wide receiver room, I feel like as far as, like, guys that are going to demand the ball, you talk about Marvin Mims, Courtland Sutton, Tim Patrick, I think all those guys are going to need their touches. For him to come out in his rookie season, I think if he has 600 yards this year, I think it's a phenomenal season. I think he can be really great for the team. I do think that's a good mark, a little high, but I think that's what my goal is for him this year, 600 yards, yeah.
Henry?
Yeah, I'm going to go lower. I look at Marvin Mims last year, 377, that ranked 19th among rookie receivers. With Troy being drafted 17th, like, if you just look at those numbers in a vacuum and say it makes sense, still some questions about the offense. There's like five receivers who are going to be seeing the field, so there's a deep rotation also. I'll bump it up a little bit and say, like, again, for, wait, is this expectation? Goals. Okay, goals, for a goal, like, call 550 a goal. Like, it's not that much lower than yours. Like, that's a good, I don't, a realistic expectation is probably more like 400, but 550 is like a nice number to shoot for.
Mm-hmm. When you say that about Marvin Mims being the 19th in terms of yards receiver, rookie receiver last year, how many receivers were drafted ahead of him?
I actually don't know. I would guess it's about eight, though.
Yeah.
Maybe even less. Many. Yeah.
Dang,
that's but like, that's one of those things is when you look at the Broncos receiver room, you're like, well, they have Marvin Mims. He's right behind Trey Palmer last year. He's right in front of Jalen Hyatt last year. And if we were to go through and say, like, what do we think of all Tampa's receivers? And we see Trey Palmer, we wouldn't look at him quite the same way we look at Marvin Mims, you know? It's like, ah, maybe you need an upgrade there. Whereas it's Marvin, so you don't. So it's just rookie receivers, it's tough. Troy Franklin, I'm not sure why I was thinking Josh Franklin. If Troy Franklin goes, gets 550 yards, he's very much on pace to be a good receiver. Those are just young 100%. Guys.
Yeah, and 100%. I think nobody else, I think why we look at Marvin Mims the way we do is because he had limited opportunities with a good amount of production, and he's a Pro Bowl returner now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think that bumps up, like,
I think so too.
His our expectation of him, what he can do. And I don't know if it has to be that he becomes this all-pro, all-world wide receiver, but we do see him as like a much better player than like everything that he's putting on the field right now as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this year for Troy Franklin is going to be boom or bust. I think we're looking at like 250 yards, not because of Troy, but because maybe it's actually good news for the Broncos, but because Courtland Sutton doesn't get traded. He's on the field, and he is your number one who's on the field all the time.
Yep.
And then Marvin Mims, Tim Patrick, Troy Franklin, Brandon Johnson kind of all divide those other reps between the two and three receiver, and he just doesn't see the field that much. Or he instantly, Sean sees it right away in training camp and OTAs that, oh, gosh, Bo really, really, really likes this guy. I got to get him on the field. And he is going to be my number two on the field at all times. He's going to jump Tim Patrick and all these other guys. Maybe he even becomes the number one at some point. And he does end up leading the team in receiving yards. And he's the first 1,000-yard receiver since Courtland Sutton did as a Pro Bowler in 2019. I wouldn't be shocked to see that at all. And I don't think if he's at 250 yards, that's a failure. But I'm going to go optimistic here, and I'm going to go 750 receiving yards. That's my goal for Troy Franklin. And if we see that from him, we're talking about, like, is he making a Pro Bowl jump next year with Bo Nix, especially if he does it with a rookie quarterback? He's a rookie receiver. But I just I look at Tank Dell, and there's so many similarities. And Tank did have great play from a rookie quarterback last year. That would be incredible to get. That's probably the biggest stretch that we need to see in order for this to happen is Bo to be that good. But if he's anywhere close to that, I can see Troy Franklin getting these numbers here. Yeah, we also have Josh Reynolds. I knew I was forgetting someone. So it honestly might just be such a crowded
receiver
room.
Too many guys.
But I hope that Troy Franklin gets that benefit of the doubt until he loses it. Like, if he has too many drops, okay, then take him off. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be very interesting because there's a lot of guys that do very similar things. And the one bump that he has on a lot of those guys is that he played with Bo before.
Yep.
But a lot of those guys were NFL vets and have played for a while. So it kind of like rebalances the scale. So it's very interesting to see how everything's going to shake out.
It is. Yeah. The day one rotation is not going to be the same as the rotation at the end of the year, though. Like, it's going to get shaken up a lot, and you just have to hope that it's because things are going well for somebody.
Right. Someone takes a big step up.
It's just so, like, with all those underneath concepts, like, what happens when you have Marvin Mims run that quick out? Like, does he have that in his bag now? Like, there's just so many of those little, there's so many of those little ones that you just have to find options for, because you know Tim Patrick can do that. Like, you know Courtland Sutton can do it. Like, Josh Reynolds, that's what he's all about. But if you can get those guys who maybe are more of a threat after the catch to separate underneath and just, like, those simple little concepts, then that could really pop off for them. But you just need to see them grow in that regard. And it helps Troy that he's come from that offense, but that wasn't necessarily his role in that offense.
I'm really curious. This is something we talked about a ton last year before the Broncos actually started playing games when they got Sean Payton as their coach. Is Sean does such a good job with his offense of playing to certain receiver strengths and then just rotating them in and out.
I love
like,
that.
Unless you have a Michael Thomas who is like just can do everything and is so elite, you don't take him off the field. Sean's not afraid to take a starter off the field for an entire series or only play a starting receiver 50% of the game because in this certain game, the matchup's actually better with your backup receiver to play there. And that's something that it seems so obvious. Like, yeah, every coach should do that. Coaches are just play scared by saying like, no, he's technically, you know, the veteran receiver. I need to keep him out there because if this rookie messes up, then I'm going to look stupid for putting a rookie out there. Sean doesn't. Hasn't cared about that outside. Again, outside Marvin Mims is the only exception to this. Throughout the other 15 years when he was in New Orleans, he was not like this. So Sean's really building up a ton of different guys. That's why I think a lot of people are going to see the field. And if one guy takes off, then he deserves to be out there.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a wide receiver competition.
It
I
is.
Guess you could say. So.
Oh man, we've got so many competitions. The offensive line, I guess, only one competition there. At center. Everything else is solidified. Everything else, maybe not tight end. Like if Dulcich is healthy, he's probably the guy. And then if Dulcich isn't healthy, it's Troutman is the guy. It's probably not much competition there. But then a receiver, competition everywhere. Quarterback, obviously the main one. And then running back too, which we'll get into. Audric Estime coming up soon. Javonte Williams, Samaje Perine, Jaleel. Also got a rookie mini camp not a tryout. He's actually an undrafted free agent that they got from Memphis. Remind me
the
of
running
his
back,
name.
Blake Watson.
Yep, Blake Watson. There's some players that aren't going to make the team in that room as well. And we're going to continue to break it down throughout the rest of this week. One more scheduling thing. One more news that we found out. Schedule release is not going to be tomorrow. The NFL is pushing it back till next week. So next Wednesday. 1 week from now, we will almost know the Broncos schedule. We'll still be doing a little special show for you, but we'll be live tomorrow at 11 a.m., Friday at 11 a.m. for you. We got some fun topics to talk about, so make sure to stay tuned with us. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.